And welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Today we're going to talk about the changing face of medical care in America and what that means for your family. And with Obamacare coming on like a freight train in the next few years, unless something derails this movement, it's going to be something that will bring about a tremendous change in the macro in terms of how doctors and patients interrelate and the kind of care that patients will receive in America. And with me to talk about this is one who's very, very close to it all. He's Dr. Tom Kendall, who is a family practitioner from Greenville, South Carolina. Also, he's a board member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Kendall, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Honored to be with you.
You have been in this business, so to speak, for a long time yourself, Dr. Kendall. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you do as a family practitioner?
I graduated from medical school in 1976 and went on to do a three-year family practice residency in Greenville, South Carolina, and ended up this being our home. We stayed here. I have been involved in the primary care, family medicine, all that time, delivered babies until about 7 years ago, at which time our malpractice burden became so heavy that we were unable to continue that. I actually got a premium notice one Thursday that my premium was going to go up $40,000 the first of the year, and so we had to scramble to get out from under that. And that was a very sad time.
Incredible.
Very sad time. However, we've continued to offer primary care, 95% of what a family needs in regard to health care matters, and have been privileged to do that. I did not recognize, I'm sad to say, my own role and responsibility as a physician, seeing the intrusion upon my own honorable profession of a politic and of an ideology that is now taking away the essence of what I went into medicine for in the first place, and that was to give to my patient what that patient needed. And that's really what's under attack with all of this intrusion that we have been hearing so much about. And so that's where I am today, trying to protect the patient-physician relationship.
Yes. Is it fair to say that many, many changes have happened over the last 35, 40 years?
Many changes have happened over the last years. And the seeds of these changes were planted years ago in America. And the fruit of those fertilized and watered and now cultivated seeds are producing producing fruit that is now coming to fruition and choking the very liberties that we took for granted in the past because we didn't face some of the oppositions that that we thought we needed to. I did not think I would have to put my white coat on and talk about liberty and freedom and these kinds of protections. I was studying physiology. I was studying anatomy. I was studying the kidney and how to help my patients, not how to defend what was going to enable me to give to my patients what they needed.
Dr. Kendall, is it fair to say that there's been a centralization of power and control, not just in the corporate area or the insurance area, but also sort of this unhealthy connection between government and corporate entities, and it's really beginning to interrupt the freedom of the average doctor and the average patient? Is that fair to say?
Oh, I think it's very fair to say. In fact, the hospital systems of today are now so closely aligned with the payment for the procedures and for the care given in the hospital that I believe that's a very, very clear indication of what fascism is.
Yes, right.
So, yes, I think there's been that growing entity.
And it's moving now from sort of a fascist to more of a socialist program through Obamacare.
Absolutely.
It seems to me.
Yeah.
Now, let's step back for just a second. America is one of the last of the Western nations still hanging on to some semblance of the free market system as well. I talk to other countries, and it seems like they're pretty well down the track. America has held on to something, hasn't she?
Well, I think that's God's grace that has enabled a remnant to do what he has ordained and commanded to do.
Yes.
I'm recognizing more and more that the theology of the remnant, as it were, is where my own responsibility is today.
Yes.
And even though there are many oppositions, many forces, both political and economic and domestic, that are opposing what really is the core of medicine, what really is the beauty and the glory of medicine, we still just have to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing.
I caught an article online. You were quoted in the article, and it sort of surprised me. I didn't know this. Apparently, many, many doctors are leaving private practice and moving on towards the big megalopolis, you know, hospital, corporate-based systems. I was shocked. I think it's double the percentage now over just 10, 20 years ago.
It truly is. And the young physicians that are coming out of training are coming out with a philosophical perspective, a political perspective that is very, very much born out of a collectivist idea. It's not born out of an idea of a personal responsibility to a patient as much as it is to the responsibility to the institution or to the system.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly one of the reasons there's going to, we're headed towards a demise of the best medical system on the planet if that continues. At first, it looks like it's optimum. At first, it looks like it's a great way to go. But when that comes, innovation will change. One of the reasons America is such a leader in world medicine is because there's been an innovative character to its operation. That will change.
Same thing has happened to education, and I think almost every homeschooler in America would tell you that. They don't trust the socialized system in education anymore, and a lot of parents don't. And a lot of parents would like to have a little more school choice, so to speak, or, you know, control over what happens in the education of their children. But as education has been increasingly socialized and controlled by Washington, D.C. and the larger state organizations, educational institutions, it seems to me that the quality of education has fallen dramatically. I mean, just over the last 30 years, say.
And I think that's evident even in some of the mindset of the younger physicians that are coming out. They have been predisposed to this. There's been an indoctrination of this kind of thinking. And so it points to the underpinning of the real problem. And that real problem is one of a spiritual context. This is a war against God.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tom Kendall is part of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and more importantly, a family practitioner for a long time in Greenville, South Carolina. He's got a lot of experience in these things. Dr. Kendall, looking forward to the future, I think 2014 is when Obamacare turns on. This is what I'm told. What do you know about Obamacare? What could we expect with Obamacare?
You can expect the loss of liberty that results in the patient and the physician making the decisions for the health care needs of the family.
Okay.
And it will become a very unattractive and undesirable situation where your decisions to actually see the doctor that you would like to see and have the doctor prescribe what he thinks is the best care for you taken away from you. And again, this is not about health care. That's the whole thing. This has been a smoke and mirrors from the start. This is not about health care. It's about control. If it were about health care, you would think there would be a push to have more physicians that care about their patients rather than care about the system. But it was apparent, if you listen to the media and what was going on in 2010, that the AMA, American Medical Association, supported Obamacare, and this was the voice of the doctors. Well, only 18% of the doctors in America at that time were, quote, in the AMA, and many of those were just given entry into the organization to get them there.
Yes.
In other words, out of medical school, they were given no reason not to join. They were actually given free membership. And so it had appeared as though that this organization, which was representing doctors, was for this legislation. Well, indeed, that organization was for that legislation, but it didn't speak for the majority of physicians.
You think the majority of physicians would be bothered with increased regulations, more paperwork, more control from Washington, D.C., and some bureaucrat trying to tell you what kind of care you can provide your patients? You think your average doctor is still bothered by that?
I like the term medicrat.
Okay.
That's one who's in Washington making medical decisions for you and me.
Right.
And unfortunately, the doctors who have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, as I, are tiring. They're recognizing it's just hard enough to get up at 2 a.m. to take care of someone, let alone fight other battles that enables you to continue that. Absolutely. Doctors are going to be leaving medicine.
Yeah.
They will be leaving medicine if they decide that they do not want to become part of the institutional controlling juggernaut.
And Dr. Kendall, I don't know if you read this story. It came out of AP News over the weekend. Extended story about what's going on in Greece, in the almost totally socialized situation in Greece. Apparently, doctors in Greece have not been paid since May. I mean, can you imagine? They have not received a paycheck for 6 months. You know, that's got to be discouraging.
I would say it's quite discouraging, yes. Uh-huh. But that's really not unprecedented in America, because uh-huh. many times in the past, hospitals have lured physicians into relationships with them. They would cover their expenses, cover malpractice, and then after a time, the association broke down uh-huh. because of the fact that the nature of that is wrong.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. In other words, it's hard to do the business with all the socialist controls.
It's becoming impossible to do the business. That's mm-hmm. why it's the American medicine and the freedom to practice private medicine is being snuffed out. But I can't quit. I can't quit. I'm actually, you mentioned the board of the APIS. I'm actually the president-elect of this organization.
And
it's my ambition, my goal this year to grow this organization in regard to its opportunity to discuss with patients the need for a lively interchange, for an approach to look to solve these problems, not just cursing the darkness, but lighting a candle and carrying a torch.
Yes.
Politics is not our answer.
Yes.
As much as we would have hoped in the past that legislative mandates and what have you, they're not our answer, because it has been taken over by a statist mentality, and bigger is better, but it isn't in regard to medicine.
You know, and I see there being always opportunities to short-circuit the system. Obviously Christian Medical Sharing Ministries was a tremendous option, has been for the last 20 years or so, and was exempted in the Senate version of the Obamacare bill.
Yes, right.
And praise God for that. The Morning Center is on track in Memphis, Tennessee, I understand, to provide charitable medical care for needy people there in that area. You know, there are people with a heart to say, you know what, we don't have to be socialists here. Let's just provide care. And let's see if people are willing to get involved on a free market basis or a charitable basis and make this thing work.
Sure.
I think that's going to happen, don't you?
Well, what this shows, unfortunately, and I think this is where we need to really look in the mirror, is the church has been relatively impotent in regard to its ministry that is the core of the gospel.
Yeah.
Healing.
Yeah.
Repair.
Mm-hmm.
Restoration.
Hmm.
Bringing out of that which is dying unto a lively hope. And so we have to look at ourselves. It's not the water outside a ship that sinks it. We've got to recognize what part we have played in our disengagement in this situation, and take a biblical role, take more of an understanding of the true ministry of medicine, which is the gospel.
Hmm. Yes, yes. And that, of course, has been the history of the Christian church. I don't think it'd be out of the question to take a church with a budget of $600,000 and say, okay, well, the pastor needs 60 and the building needs, 50. But let's peel off $200,000, $300,000 to help widows and orphans. Let's put it back into the charitable area. And maybe even bring some doctors in to work part-time for the time being. And let's bring Christian medical work back under the rubric of the church. I mean, why not?
That's a very reasonable Reformation thought, a visionary, appropriate, and I think, yes, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not all bad news, but as far as what's going on with the average American, you're looking at more regulation, more control from somewhere else, probably more government-paid abortions for children with Down syndrome, for example, more euthanasia. I mean, can't you see these kinds of things happening?
Oh, it's already measurable. There are fewer Down syndrome children living into their 25s. You know, mm-hmm. they're no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
It's already happening.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of people who have a vision for something different, have different principles, standing up and saying, hey, we're going to do this a little differently.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I think they're viable, and I think it offers a – and frankly – the only viable opportunity for another way to go right now. And I think we need to open our eyes and our ears and our pocketbooks in regard to looking at that, because it would be far more faithful stewardship to focus our attentions, our resources toward that which is looking towards a lifestyle of godliness, a lifestyle of family orientation, a lifestyle of caring for the next generation, both ends, the young and the old. And if we put all of our resources into the current situation with, quote, government care or insurance care, we're actually underwriting a lot of perversity.
Mm-hmm.
We're underlying a lot of alternative lifestyle situations, mm-hmm. which I really believe is not for us to do.
And that may be one of the reasons why the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries are down around, I think we're going at $4,000 per year compared to, you know, something more like $12,000 to $18,000 a year, which would be the kind of insurance package I think we would be paying under normal systems. So we actually wind up paying quite a bit less when we're in these accountable systems. You know, we're part of a Bible-believing church, and we're in accountability, and the costs for this kind of medical work is actually quite a bit less. And I think another part of this, Dr. Kendall, maybe you can comment on this, is that in a proper Christian view of things, where there is true Christian faith, there's belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there's hope for something beyond our death. There's a little less dependence upon medical care. There's a little less dependence upon the state and a looking to the state for, you know, some kind of absolute care, and a little less looking to doctors to solve all your problems for you, and hopefully a little less litigation.
Well, one example of that is the fact that pregnancy today is considered by many in the profession as a disease to be prevented or cured,
mm-hmm.
and that's a travesty.
Yes.
There are two reasons why costs are so exorbitant in America for health care. One of them is the government intrusion. The other one is the improper pooling of risks in regard to the insurance industry.
Okay.
In other words, medicine has become a player on a chessboard for a politic and for an economic, which is definitely bringing it down. And so these other ministries, which are faith-based, they're operating by folk who are concerned more about the patient, more about the family,
mm-hmm.
than they are the CEO's accomplishing of whatever it is he wants to accomplish, then there's going to be benefit grown out of that.
This litigation issue, I think you've already mentioned it once or twice. What's the problem here? What should the church address when it comes to, if you had an opportunity to stand up in front of, you know, 100,000 people and talk about the issue of litigation, what would you say?
Well, I think that the biblical means of dealing with problems, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, is that you keep it within the context of the church, and you have mediators, and you have you don't take a brother to law.
Yeah.
And so there's no question about most litigation today,
okay.
is not because of wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of medical negligence.
Okay.
It's because of a failure to recognize the providence of God.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Amen.
And the sovereign purposes that he is working out, even through affliction and
mm-hmm.
through human suffering,
mm-hmm.
are not explained by humanism.
Right.
And so we have to then compensate in some measure for those kinds of experiences that cause us to be hopeless.
Hmm.
They really do.
Hmm. Wow. Great words, tremendous words from Dr. Tom Kendall, who's with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Anything else that you'd like to pass along, Dr. Kendall? Is there any resources people can avail themselves to when it comes to these issues? I mean, I know of almost very little out there on the issue of a Christian worldview concerning medicine, but anything you could recommend?
Well, I think your comment there is right on. There is not one medical school in our nation that has a biblical worldview.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Now, thank God for those who are faithful in the circumstances when they're going on to professional training and they have a foundation in biblical understanding and those light and salt where they are, yes. But as a foundation of medical education, that does not exist in America. So, is there not a vision that could be born to have that accomplished? I think so.
Amen.
I think so. Mm-hmm. There is a website that I think would be very appropriate for your listeners to involve themselves with. It's www.aapsonline.org.
Okay.
That is the website for the AAPS, which is a very simple and entry into the organization that is the Delta Force of medicine right now. It is a group of physicians who are recognizing our responsibility to protect the patient's opportunity to have a private doctor and to have those decisions made in the context of that relationship. And I'm very honored to represent this organization in the context of spreading the word about the responsibility that each of us has. I believe one of the great American losses is the loss of understanding of personal responsibility. Our government has done a great job of that, and our institutions are doing the same thing. And so what we now must do is each of us recognize our own personal responsibility. Talk to the doctor. Doctors talking to patients, talking to one another, and not letting the media, the politic of the age, just wash us over. Go ahead and stand, and it'll cost something to stand. There's no question about that. Something that's done for Christ will cost something, but He says, "I'm with you. I'm with you."
Well, this is very exciting. Dr. Tom Kendall is with me today on Generations. The fields are white for reformation in this area, so I just think we're just getting into some opportunity for some tremendous reformational ideas. And Dr. Kendall, your input has been very important and invaluable to our listening audience today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And our next national meeting is actually in Denver next September, so we'll be out there near where you are.
Oh, very good. Hopefully we'll get a chance to connect.
We'd like to.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up this program, let me encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries and other Christian solutions to the rising cost of insurance and the rising involvement of government regulations and government programs in the area of medical care. It's time for Christians to find solutions to the problems that humanists are bringing into the area of medical care. And I think Samaritan Ministries is one of those solutions. It's a biblical solution for a lot of reasons. They're bringing accountability back into medical care, voluntary, charitable involvement in the area of medical care. It's affordable as well. And we've spent, I think, 25% of what we would have spent for insurance over the last 14 years ourselves, speaking of what the Swansons have been doing in the area of medical care. Samaritan Ministries has saved us about $150,000 over a period of 14 years, and that's significant. And we don't have to pay for abortifacients and abortion and the sorts of things required by Obamacare for insurance in the years to come. So again, if you are a Christian, check out viable, important Christian solutions to the rising costs of medical care and the rising involvement of socialist medicine in our lives. Now's the time to check out other solutions. SamaritanMinistries.org is where you need to go to check out another solution. Also, let them know that Kevin Swanson sent you by. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.